Welcome to the Carmichael Governance Podcast Series, which focuses on governance issues relevant to charities and nonprofits. I'm Dermot O'Carbui, CEO of Carmichael. Carmichael is a charity that provides supports to other charities and nonprofits, particularly in the area of training and governance. You can find details of what we do and a wide range of free resources on our website. That's carmichaelireland.ie. You can also find links to all our previous editions of our governance podcast on our website, or listen back to them on your favourite podcast platform, be that Acast, Apple or Spotify. Today I'm speaking to Carolan Minnock, who leads the pro bono practice in Arthur Cox, about her career journey to date, but also particularly want to explore the Pro Bono Pledge initiative and learn more about that particular initiative. So, Carolan, you're very welcome. Could you introduce yourself and your background and the career journey? Because I'm always fascinated because people have taken so many different ways to end up where they are today. So can you talk about your career to date and how you've ended up in your current role?
Certainly, Dermot, and thank you so much for the opportunity to be with you here today and to talk to you about our pro bono work. My name is Carolan Minnock, as you mentioned, and I'm pro bono of counsel at Arthur Cox, a large commercial law firm based in Dublin. And that means that I head up the pro bono practice at the firm. I've had quite an interesting career journey to date. I qualified as a solicitor back in 2008. But I always had an interest in working overseas in the NGO community. And fortunately, I got an opportunity with Irish Rule of Law International, which is a collaboration between the Law Society of Ireland and Bar Council of Ireland, to work overseas in Malawi on an access to justice project on the ground there. And that was really the platform that led me to so many other opportunities. Shortly after that, I had an opportunity to go work in Afghanistan for quite some time. And my role in international development really just took off from there. I spent about 9 years working in different countries across Africa, across Central and Southeast Asia. And all of my work was really focused working with NGOs and civil society to help improve access to justice in those particular countries. So in Afghanistan, I was very much working with children in conflict with the law. In Southeast Asia, it was more focused on human rights and access to information. It was a job I loved. Sometimes it can be a little challenging when it comes to not speaking the language in different countries, or culture of course is very different. So at the back of my mind, I always thought, gosh, wouldn't it be lovely if I could come back and do this work that I love so much in Ireland? And I never really thought that would be possible. But in 2019, a position came up with Arthur Cox for pro bono associate. And well, the rest is history. I joined Arthur Cox in 2019. And I've been there ever since. I became pro bono of counsel just last year. And that's where I got to where I am today.
Very good. And as you say, a fascinating journey, but also you've obviously followed your passion throughout, which is great. You might specifically talk about Arthur Cox and its pro bono practice, and then we'll talk about the pro bono pledge. But maybe first off, what does the pro bono work in Arthur Cox cover?
Yeah, surely. When I joined Arthur Cox, it was to develop the pro bono work that the firm was already doing a little more. And I think that's well worth noting that there was a long tradition of undertaking pro bono work at Arthur Cox that can really be traced all the way back to our founder, Arthur Cox himself. But I think that's the story of many law firms and lawyers across the country, where lawyers would always help people that needed it that wouldn't otherwise be able to afford legal services. We might not always have called it pro bono, and there might not always have been a structure around it, but I think as a community, there's a long tradition of giving back. At Arthur Cox, we have that history as well, but we can see in recent years how pro bono has really grown in the firm. It's gone from about 4,000 pro bono hours a couple of years ago to last year, we reached close to 17,000 pro bono hours for the first time, which is a huge increase. It tells us a few things. The first thing it tells us is that there's such an appetite amongst our colleagues when it comes to giving back and helping people where they can. The other thing, though, it tells us is that there's such a need in our community for this type of help. And when we think about it and cast our eyes back to recent years, people have been grappling with a global pandemic the crisis in Afghanistan, the war in Ukraine. And this is reflected in the type of pro bono work that is referred to us from helping Afghan people living in Ireland today, trying to help their families back home apply for visas, or helping Ukrainian people whose lives have been uprooted overnight, arrived in a new country and just trying to understand what their rights are and how to access them. So there's been such an increase in work across the board. I think it's important to say at this point, though, that we've seen the amount of work that we do when it comes to pro bono increase dramatically over the last number of years. But none of what we do would be possible without the partnership that we have with the NGO community, because it's important that Arthur Cox is engaged in pro bono work, that we're helping our communities. We're really focused on helping the most vulnerable and marginalised people in our community. If we think about that for a moment, though, the most vulnerable and marginalised people in our community, they don't necessarily know what pro bono is, where to get it, who to talk to about it, but they are in contact with our NGO partners who are providing frontline legal services to people day in, day out. And by partnering with NGOs, they can connect people in need of our legal services with ourselves, so we're in a position to help. So there's a long list of NGOs that we're very fortunate to partner with, but it's the likes of the Immigrant Council of Ireland, the Irish Refugee Council, Community Law and Mediation, and the Free Legal Advice Centres, just to name but a few. And that gives you a flavour of some of the pro bono work then that we do at the firm.
That's been very, very helpful. And I can testify the pro bono support we've got through the years from Arthur Cox, from a range of the partners and staff in Arthur Cox, which is very, very helpful. You're also involved, Carol-Anne, on the pro bono pledge. For those, pro bono is instantly recognisable to people in the legal profession, but people outside may not be familiar with what is the pro bono pledge. And what does that entail?
Well, it's a fantastic initiative that came about in recent years where the legal community came together to kind of affirm our commitment to pro bono. The initiative itself was launched by the Minister for Justice, and it's really lawyers from small and large law firms, sole practitioners, in-house counsel firms, colleagues from the bar, so all types of lawyers coming together to really say that we're committed to undertaking pro bono work and to working together when it comes to delivering on this, so we can make sure that we're helping the people that need our help the most. And I think that's really important, because through pro bono work, it creates opportunities for the legal sector to work together in new and important ways to help people. For example, sometimes I might get a request to undertake some pro bono work, and if the firm can't at that particular time because capacity, for example, there's a whole host of other law firms and colleagues now that I work so closely with that I can contact and say, hey, can anybody else help? And I think that's really important, that we're working together as a community to help those most in need.
And have you seen, because you mentioned the figure of in the Arthur Cox case, going from 4,000 to 17,000. Have you seen a big growth in legal firms, individuals that want to get involved in the pro bono pledge?
Certainly. We've seen a steady increase since the pledge was launched back in 2020. We currently have 100 signatories to Pro Bono Pledge Ireland. That's made up of over 40 law firms. And then, as I mentioned, colleagues from the bar and in-house counsel teams. So I think there's a steady increase there. Similar to what we see at Arthur Cox, that there's real appetite for people to get involved, to help where they can, and then to work together in delivering these services.
And you mentioned earlier about, in general, some people have difficulty accessing legal support, legal advice. How does the pledge work in terms of access? How do people, who do they call?
Yeah. Well, firstly, when we talk about pro bono, it's worth mentioning what we mean is the provision of legal services for no fee or no expectation of a fee. And the pledge sets out the different eligibility criteria to avail of these services. But it's really for small charities, NGOs, social enterprises of limited means that wouldn't otherwise have somewhere else to be able to avail of legal assistance. And that these organisations are working with marginalised and vulnerable people. And that to avail of these services, to contact PILA. So PILA is the Public Interest Law Alliance. It's an initiative of FLAC. And by contacting the PILA team who coordinate the pledge, PILA will be able to check that the request meets the eligibility criteria and then also match the organisation with the law firm that's able to assist them.
So PILA is the point of contact. Is there a website, or how do you find PILA?
The best thing to do is check out the PILA website, which is pila.ie, and people could also check out probonopledge.ie for more information on the Pro Bono Pledge.
Yeah, no, that's great, because people have sort of listened to this and said, okay, who do I call? And I think get onto the PILA website as a first point of contact, and they act as a sort of the channel, and they can sort of signpost people to that help. So in terms of, you mentioned you work very closely with NGOs. What type of issues or things did you cover under the Pro Bono Pledge? What are the sort of the typical things?
Yeah, I think to mention here, there are different models of pro bono support available, and then there's different areas of law that law firms will advise on. So when we talk about models, I think this is really interesting for people keen to access pro bono services, because when we think about pro bono, we might first think of availing of legal advice and representation. So pro bono support is certainly that. But it can also be so much more. It's also advocacy, working on policy, research. It could also be providing training sessions for NGOs on different areas of law, or helping out with legal clinics such as the FLAC information line. So really, there's a wide variety of the different types of pro bono models available to people. And then there's also the different areas of law that people can avail of pro bono support. So this could be employment law, litigation, GDPR, corporate governance. Really, the sky's the limit. So I think we were talking about how to avail of pro bono support and contacting PILA.ie. What I would be keen to highlight for people is just to get in contact and ask. Don't be worried so much if they're eligible or not. Exactly,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Have the conversation.
Because it's only by asking that you'll get a better sense of what is or what isn't supported, and the different ways to avail of the supports available. And there's a really smashing team over at PILA that I'm sure would be glad to help.
And I think that's an important point, is to have a conversation. Even I would have been aware of it. Sometimes you get a thing in your head that PILA is only about policy and policy changing legislation, but it's much broader than that. So I think it's, if you're not sure, have a conversation. Are there particular things that are outside the scope of the service that is not within the remit of the pledge?
Yeah, indeed there are. Good question. Well, the aim of the Pro Bono Pledge is to help marginalised and vulnerable people or organisations that represent them, who have limited financial means and wouldn't otherwise have access to legal services. So there's an unmet legal need. So then anything that would fall outside the scope of that definition is where pro bono support wouldn't be available. So if it's for a large organisation where it doesn't deal with marginalised or vulnerable people that already has the means to avail of legal support, or there's other places to go for assistance, in that instance, then pro bono support wouldn't be available. But what I'd always say to people is that if you're not sure, just ask. Because the folks over at the Public Interest Law Alliance, PILA, they're always so happy just to have the conversation and to help people tease out the type of legal query that they have and who best might be able to help them.
Yeah, they are the experts, and they will have heard lots of queries over the time, so they can tease it out for you. So that makes sense. Yeah, so contact PILA, and if in doubt, give them a call.
Exactly.
I think also sometimes it helps for people when they give me some sort of examples of the type of work that you do, so that it'll highlight the sort of the range, the diversity, the richness of the support you provide. So you might give us one or two examples of work that have been facilitated through this pledge.
Certainly, there's so many examples. We work very closely with FLAC, the Free Legal Advice Centre, on its information lines, helping people to access legal information and just understand their legal rights. We also work with FLAC on their employment clinics. But some of the real standout projects are projects where Arthur Cox has collaborated with other signatories of Pro Bono Pledge Ireland to deliver pro bono support. So examples of this are firstly the KIND project, which is where we work with unaccompanied minor refugees. So young children who have made their way to Ireland to apply for refugee status and then are able to apply to be reunited with their family, which is something really significant. But if you're a young person, you don't understand the language, difficult to navigate a new country, a new legal system, really support is needed to be able to make an application like that. And so together, firms like Arthur Cox, A&L Goodbody, Descartes, Simmons and Simmons, DLA Piper. There's a long list. I won't remember them all, but it's a really great example of how law firms came together to be able to take on some of these applications to help these young people. And we do this in partnership with the NGO community, with the Immigrant Council of Ireland and the Irish Refugee Council. But it's such a great example of working together to help some of the people most in need. So that's a project that started in 2019 and it has grown steadily since then. Another project that's worth mentioning is the Ukraine-Ireland Legal Alliance. So this is an alliance that was established in 2022 following the invasion of Ukraine, when law firms and human rights activists came together as a group to see what we could do to help. Again, there's a whole host of law firms that make up this group. It's Arthur Cox alongside Matheson, A&L Goodbody, a list of different law firms involved, but really highlights the commitment of the legal community to help people when they need it most. And some of the projects we've been able to implement here are in collaboration again with the NGO partners, such as the Irish Red Cross, where we collaborated to hold legal information clinics where newly arrived Ukrainian people could come sit with us, talk to us about their different legal queries. People were trying to understand, what is my immigration status? Can I work? Can my children go to school? Just getting a sense of what their rights were. So it was a very easy thing for us to be able to undertake and to help, but it really made a big difference to the people we were talking to. And so we've had a number of examples of activities like that, working together to help Ukrainian people alongside our NGO partners. So I think it just shows the value in bringing a number of law firms and lawyers together around this area of need and partnering with the NGO community to deliver the help to people that need it most.
We've seen this area, you know, we mentioned the growth in Arthur Cox, but the growth in the number of firms involved, committed to the pro bono pledge. Has the scale of your activity increased as a result? Because you've got more talented people available to help out. Has that meant that the range and the depth that you're doing has increased?
Yeah, certainly. We have seen the steady development of pro bono at Arthur Cox, but also across the sector and through Pro Bono Pledge Ireland, we've been able to see a steady growth in the number of pro bono hours that are undertaken, but also the number of people that are members of the pledge. One of the ways we can see this growth is we come together each year to work on and launch a pro bono impact report. The first report was launched by A&L Goodbody, I think, back in 2022, and the second report just launched last year by DLA Piper. And so these reports highlight the different types of legal work that we've been involved in together as a community, but also shows the numbers of people that are involved in the pledge and the hours completed. So between 2022 and 2023, we saw growth of about 5,000 pro bono hours completed. So it's working together to make sure that we can deliver the best pro bono services we can to people. And I think that's really important that we're reporting on it as a group as well, because it allows us to benchmark how we're doing year on year against previous years.
But it also helps increase awareness, and particularly within the legal profession. Do you see more joining the pledge? Is that part of your plans, to get more individuals, more firms involved?
Absolutely. I'm conscious that across the country, there's, as we mentioned at the start, a strong tradition of just giving back and helping our local communities. But there's something powerful in working together and collaborating as a legal profession around this. And I think Pro Bono Pledge Ireland offers a platform for people to be able to get involved and do that. So I'd love to see that expanding to more areas of the country, to more lawyers and law firms, with more people getting involved.
And I think the fact that it is a structured program, that it's not something that you find yourself, I can't take on all of this. There is others who will step in. It's a shared burden in one way.
And also, we were all starting out at the beginning at one stage where we had to figure out the different projects to get involved in, who to go to for advice, how to manage different projects. And so one of the benefits of having this community is that we can collaborate together and really support each other when it comes to training, finding our feet, and just learn from each other. And so we hold regular meetings and training opportunities like this.
I did attend the launch of your last Impact, and I could get that sense of collaboration and collegiality, which is very powerful when you're providing, like, it's a shared service, and then your reach increases as a result. So that's fantastic. I have a final question that I ask all my guests, and it's my magic wand one. So for you, what would be your top three wishes for the sector in the next 5 years? What would you like to see happening? And probably maybe wearing your wider lens, given your own background, but also the pro bono pledge. What would you like to see in 5 years' time?
Oh, magic wand. Let me think. The charity sector in Ireland and the voluntary organisations are so important to our communities and society. If I had three wishes, the first would be, I think, the enactment of the Charities Amendment Bill. We've been talking about it for quite a while, and I think it would really be great to see that be enacted in the time ahead. But I understand we're making good progress towards that goal. Second up, a better resourced charities regulator. We see that it takes sometimes when groups are applying for charitable status for their applications to be assessed. And I think if these types of applications could be assessed more promptly, that would really help the different groups considering applying for charitable status. And then I think we've just seen so many positives from the collaboration with law firms around pro bono. I'd love to see this expand further so we could engage more with the charity sector when it comes to the provision of pro bono services. And that could be law firms working together with charities, but also could be in-house counsel teams, colleagues from the bar. I just think there's untapped potential in this area. And I think if we can work together a little bit more in this space, there's so much more that can be achieved. And if I could be cheeky and have one more wish for the pro bono sector, it's exactly what we just mentioned there, expanding Pro Bono Pledge Ireland. So the reach of it is to all corners of the country, and also that more people have an opportunity to get involved, but also to avail of our pro bono services.
It's fantastic. And all those are great wishes. And on the amendment legislation, I got a panic when I saw the list published. And then is it still there? Like, the fear is, will the government survive? If the government falls early, we'll be back to square one. But it's looking positive that we will have that amended legislation. And again, I think it's fantastic that there is that pro bono pledge. And I think if anybody, you know, if they have something that they think that might come under the remit or might get some help, contact Píle. It's, you know, it's a conversation, you know, just worst case it says, no, it's outside. But, you know, you may find some great help and support, and sometimes it's relief of stress and worry that you might be experiencing, that something, even just a simple advice or a pathway to how to resolve your particular issue. So, Caroline, this has been fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Carmichael Governance Podcast Series. We hope that you enjoyed it. If you did, it would be of great benefit to us if you could give it a rating, as that helps to create better awareness of these podcasts. Also, it would be great if you could let others know about our podcast series. So, until the next time, from me, Dermot O'Carbuie, and on sound and editing, Paul Maloney, Slán go fóill.